So we're going to open our Bibles and open our hearts and receive from the Lord as Brother Mike shares. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Levi, I changed my mind. I'm going to use this mic. Captain Obvious. Well, what a great group today, tonight. And boy, oh boy, has this been a year, huh? Just came through quite the unexpected year and unexpected event after unexpected event, really. And it's amazing, it seems, that we have been one step behind in some aspects. And I sure didn't see January 6th coming. That was quite the ambush. They played that perfectly. That's what I'm talking about. And we're literally living in a moment where the emperor has no clothes on, and they're telling us, no, he does. And we're saying, no, he doesn't have clothes on. They're saying, yes, he does. You guys are just, you're not seeing it right. He has clothes on. It's the craziest moment when it comes to truth. It's a moment that God's going to use for his glory. I have strong feelings. I'm not going to share about that. But people are seeing now, God's revealing now to us, the plenty of people that we have put our trust in are very good at talking. And that's it. And so they're going to do something. They're going to do something. They got this. No. Oh, this guy's going to do it now. He's got character. They're going to stand strong. No. And you're seeing that, and the world's seeing people that are good at talking and have no backbone. Or they're good at talking and they really just don't share our values. They acted like they did, but they don't. And we are in a swarm, seemingly. 60 days the military's being put on stand down so they can deal with systematic racism. There's no such thing. I've been there. I've heard I had sergeants that spoke every dialect of broken English to me from all over the world. There's no racism in the military, trust me. But when you're wanting to purge the military, that's when you do that. And it's happened so fast. Emperor doesn't have any clothes on. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. And countries even are feeling this immediately. I saw an evangelist was speaking. He had been in Afghanistan, and January 20th came and went, and he got arrested. I guess that's par for the course kind of for him there. And so he goes there to preach the gospel and get arrested. And the police officers were talking to him about the election and talking about how disappointed they were. And he was kind of surprised that they would be disappointed that it turned out the way it did. But they said the stability in the world, the world's feeling the lack of stability already. He said he couldn't leave the towns because the Taliban, they used to, when President Trump was president, they would kidnap you and ransom you. Now they'd behead you because there's nothing to fear. So he couldn't even leave the town. It's just like that fast, the world's reeling. And so truth, this truth, is going to become such a commodity that people are going to be searching for. They're going to be searching for a truth and message that actually has something behind it. When we say God can set you free, God can set you free. We're not just saying words as apostolics. We have some power behind it, and this is a living word, and you can stand on it. And there's going to be people reeling from what's going on, looking for stability, looking for a rock, and they're going to be coming in, stumbling in here. And they're going to get something that is true. They're going to get something that is alive, and it's not talk. It really will change your life. It really will change your life. And so truth and the love for truth and love of the truth is now becoming our most important, What we have to strive for is to become consumed with this, consumed with truth, in prayer, and in study. Because if we don't believe what we're saying, this word is powerful. But if we don't put faith behind it, or if we don't have anointing behind it, it's just words. Anybody could read this and not be affected. But if you add anointing and a quickening of the Spirit, you add the leading of the Holy Ghost in with this, it has the ability to change your life in a moment. How powerful is that? And how necessary is it for us as a church to be full of fire of the Word of God and full of fire of the Spirit of truth that's inside of us? Because truth is a person. We call him Jesus Christ. Love is a person. We call him Jesus Christ. We can't get one without the other. And so as we fall in love with Jesus Christ through what Thomas was talking about with prayer, that's why the disciples were so focused on studying the Word of God and prayer. That was their focus. They didn't even allow what we would be affected by as far as waiting on tables or taking care of the widows. They didn't allow that to make them lose focus in what they were doing. But they said, okay, we are going to continue to study this word. That's Acts 6. Actually, let's go ahead and turn there. They had just walked with this man who had died on the cross, been resurrected, and not like Lazarus, not like Jairus' daughter, resurrected, glorified, and had told them about the Spirit of truth that was going to be poured out upon them. And so they were freshly full of the Spirit of truth, and they had this word that was just coming alive to them. And you can see as they're literally, the rest of this New Testament is getting written by revelation from them, experience from them. They're literally, while they're studying that word and that Spirit of truth, like it said, it was going to testify about itself, to tell them more about themselves, to lead them into deeper truth. As they're consumed by it, they're writing it. And they're giving us this portion of the New Testament. What a powerful situation they were a part of. Chapter 6, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. How offensive sounding. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Since when has that happened? Since when has a pastor been able to get up and say, you guys figure this out, I'm going to give myself to prayer and to ministering of the world and word and have the crowd go, oh, that's a great idea. Most of the time, that's your job, right? What do you do all day long? Boy, I wish I was a pastor. I could just hang out and preach a couple times a week and get paid all kinds of money. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And so then they choose some absolutely dynamic people. And verse 7 says, and the word of God increased. Do you get that? Then Acts 12. This is after Herod gets told what's up. Dies with worms. It says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Isn't that interesting? It's not saying, I don't see how it's saying souls are being added, or it's saying the word of God grew and multiplied. It says it again here in Acts. My point being that this book and the truth and this, the fact that we know this is a spirit of truth, that and then a written word of God that is alive for us and for others, as we're consumed with this, we'll see the effect on the world. As we're not consumed, we'll see that effect also. Because people are coming in. If I was coming in from the world right now, I'd be so skeptical of everything. Because there's nothing that you can really count on except the fact that righteousness and goodness loses every single time. At this point, that's what you can count on. You can count on that the fact that we're always going to lose, and our party's always going to have zero backbone. They're always going to give in. Whereas the other side wants to kill you. They're going to destroy you, and we just concede over and over again. So they're coming in here. I would be skeptical too. I'd come in here wondering, like, is this real, or are these people real, or is this just like I read on the news, or just like that's really happening in real life? And it's going to be how powerful of an environment they come walking into. It's going to be a truth that is alive. It's a truth that's a person. We call him Jesus Christ, so we're going to say, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily a discussion here. I don't need to get into a debate with you. I'm just going to tell you, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's truth. That's life, and that's light. And it's love. And when they come in here and they see light, I think Annette had a word about that. Did God give you a word about light recently? They see the light, they'll feel it. That's been, I don't know how many times now, tongues interpretation, lights come in such a powerful way. In fact, one time I remember in my mind, it said it would be even more powerful than light on creation day or something to do with that, like some kind of a statement towards that effect. He wants to work through us. What? That's powerful. That's a supernatural power. You know how fast light travels. You know what you can do with light. You know how we can manipulate light, how we can turn it into a laser, or how we can do different things. There's so many aspects of that that's so powerful and supernatural. And that's what we're stepping into. My brother, he sent me a word I'd given him in 2018, and he said, this is the moment we're in right now. And it's the Joshua dimension is what I call it. The Joshua dimension. What was the Joshua dimension? Well, the Joshua dimension was they were stepping into something completely new. This was the first time that they were crossing over to take the promised land once and for all. And so, in order to do that, Joshua, as the leader, circumcises them initially. Has the men circumcised, which it's amazing that they weren't circumcised in the wilderness, but they're circumcised. Then God removes the reproach of Egypt off of them. And it turns into a be strong and of good courage. Pastor Glover, a couple years ago, I remember preaching a very powerful message about that. It's simply that, be strong and of good courage. That's Joshua 1. And it's repeated numerous times, and even Moses had said it in Deuteronomy. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. But how are you going to do that, Joshua? For Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The word of God. Because Joshua was coming into a place where he was going to have to wholly rely on the leading of the word of God in his spirit. His first major battle with Jericho would be the most ridiculous thing to hear in our natural mind. This is what you're going to do. You're just going to march around it. You're going to do it 7 days, and it's going to be great. That's the Joshua dimension. We're in a moment right now where you cannot absolutely, it's been said so many times, but absolutely, we cannot trust what we see, and we cannot trust what we hear. If it doesn't line up with this, we cannot trust it or believe it. We can only believe what's written in here. Everything else we can just assume is antichrist. That's a pretty good assumption right now. And all we can trust is what we know of this word and what we feel God telling us in our spirits. The Joshua dimension is we're walking in a supernatural victory after victory after victory as long as we are following the leading of the Holy Ghost. It had been a conversation, I don't usually have those kinds of things. In fact, me and Dad sometimes laugh about conversations people have with God, but it started by God telling me that we really don't speak those things that are not as though they were. He said, you all speak those known things that are not, like sickness or the obvious, and then believe you're speaking those things that are not as though they were. He said, the dimension I'm taking you into is the dimension of Joshua. He said, that's what I consider sonship. Joshua's first battle, he spoke what I told him to say, and what happened? Walls fell down. Did I do that again? No. Had it been done before? No. That's what speaking those things that are not as though they were means to me. In this dimension, you will rely wholly on me or fail. What were the two mistakes Joshua made? Ai and the Gibeonites. Did he ask me what to do before he made a decision? No. That's the principle of this dimension. My printer just screwed all that up, and I don't feel like looking it up on my phone. I can't read that part, but you must rely on me. See, now I've said that twice. Is that significant? Yes. What would make Joshua even think he could speak to what I created and make it change the order I designed it for? Talking about when he commanded the sun. I don't know. As you walk in obedience, submission, and repentance in this dimension, you will. The Joshua dimension. I think we're actually going to be able to live a supernatural life here now. we're getting to the point where we're actually going to get to practice what we preach, and really see the hand of God moving. And so I'm not so necessarily with Pastor Glover with Wynn. Unfortunately, I found another one in First Chronicles or Second Chronicles. It was Sennacherib, but whatever. The search engines are crazy. But with win, with Bible studies, soul winning, I'm believing that being possessed with this book, getting it to where it becomes something that you're absolutely in love with. How many of you, with your daily Bible reading, don't want to stop? There's days where you're like, oh my goodness, thank God I'm done. But there's other days where it's like, I don't want to stop. I absolutely do not want to stop. It's so exciting. It becomes so real, and then you get revelation flowing, and then you go through days where you don't. And that's just how it is. Reading the Bible with our kids this year, giving them Bible studies every time, it's been so exciting. But you know what I'm also doing? I'm also reading to them a devotional from my dad. I took it from him about martyrs. So every day we read about someone that either gets the fire beat out of them for God, gets killed for God, or or something along those lines. And I'm telling our kids that no matter what happens, we're going to make it. No matter what happens, we are not going to deny Jesus Christ. These guys did it. We can do it. We can stand strong no matter what happens. I believe something is going to happen where God steps in. But if that doesn't happen, we're going to make it no matter what happens. I'm getting that because no matter what, at this point, we're making it. Megan and I are taking our kids with us. We're not going to be like Lot. We're going to be like Noah. And so we tell them that day after day after day. And at the same time, I believe the miraculous is going to flow through them. So we went to Marilyn Inslee's house, and we had the kids lay hands on them, on Sister Ema Inslee instead of us, and they prayed, and it was powerful. Marilyn Inslee had a brief vision about souls coming in because of the prayers they were praying. Powerful stuff. But when people come in, if they don't feel that love that only God can give you, if they don't feel and see this truth being spoken, this is supposed to offend people. Sorry to tell you that. How many people did Jesus lose? What would Jesus do? I get so sick of that. How many people did he walk away from him because he offended them with how he spoke? I mean, how could a resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ have 500 and have 120 in the upper room? Maybe they just didn't have room and they were in another place. I doubt it. But this is meant to, with people that are dull of hearing, with people that are lost, how else can it get their attention unless it does prick them to the point of giving them that moment of they can either be offended or they can take a moment and realize that this is what they need. This is what they're looking for. We want truth to be spoken from this pulpit that's real, that has feeling behind it to where it does prick your heart. It does initially maybe upset you to the point where you just get up and leave. I mean, from what I understand, back in the old days, that's what used to happen. People would get up and leave, and maybe a couple days later, they'd come back. That first time, it was too much for them, or they got offended. We need, people are coming in, they're looking for something. When we actually get the chance to talk to people, if you don't believe what you're saying to them, don't talk to them about it. Don't talk to them about it until you do believe it. Start getting in this word till you do really believe that God's going to do it through you. By all means, don't tell them that God heals. If you have absolutely no faith, he's going to heal them right there. People need to feel it. So many empty promises. So much talk that means nothing. They need something, and it's right here. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through you. And that's going to be what multiplies. That's what's going to be what really, really gets people grounded in this church here. Is they're looking for something, they're going to find it. Jesus Christ. But this last year, it's been with the churches closed down. You want to talk about paradox. Please don't talk about glory and power if you're being closed down. It doesn't go together, does it? Not necessarily, I don't think. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. This is Hebrews 10:25. Right before that, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The assembling of yourselves together, that's used twice in the entire New Testament. The other time it's used, it's Greek number 1997, episynagogue. The other time it's used is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. You realize that this is a dress rehearsal? Every time we get together now, it's a dress rehearsal for when that trumpet sounds. And we're gathered together to meet him in the clouds. It's a dress rehearsal. So how important is that? How important is that? I didn't even want to say this kind of stuff today, because with this past year, have we lost a step? Like, if you seriously looked in your spirit, did you lose a step? Being shut down, not being able to get together with prayer, has your prayer life dwindled down, or has it become stronger? And am I my brother's keeper? Like, is there somebody on your mind right now that you know has slipped? Or is there somebody you know has struggled during this time, and they need a little extra, maybe, love of a brother or a sister? Loss that's not grieved, all those kinds of situations. I know what I'm saying. I'm just being nice about it. We're not all there. There's people I can identify that have grown in very powerful ways. Sister Maria stands out to me. But am I my brother's keeper? Is it my responsibility with you guys? And is it okay that we get together and you see or you feel and you don't do anything about it? Time and circumstances. Even Tuesday prayer at 7 o'clock, who prays how long you'd pray if you'd come here? Or what's your highest priority in life now? Or have you grown through the word? Do you get excited about the same things you used to get excited about when you come to church? It was awesome seeing Sister Abbott running the aisles. That's an exciting thing, and that's a Thursday night, and she doesn't have good health necessarily, so she suffers for whatever she does. So that's a powerful moment to see that. But who am I overlooking that right now sitting here wounded, or sitting here lukewarm, or sitting here in need of some kind of help from God? That we've been talking about with truth, and we've been talking about with the moving of the Spirit, that I'm just letting go or overlooking or walking past. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, what if they get offended? Well, what if they go to hell? And Levi and Rebecca do such a great job with the teenagers, but are they praying like they should be praying? I mean, Nathaniel, you did a fantastic job Thursday. And I must admit, I was a little surprised when you're given a word from God. That made me very proud. So I'm very, very happy, and I'm very proud of Levi and Rebecca and the work they're doing. But how long has it been for some of us? How long has it been for some of us? How can we be effective as a church if we're not effective and we're not strong ourselves? Each person matters so much in the building and what we're doing that we can't afford to have people that are hurting and not getting ministered to, that are coming wounded, that want to say they need help, but they absolutely just can't say it. They could probably weep for hours if they just let themselves, but they don't. And then service is over, and so they go home. And we go through the motions, fist to fist. And now you're wounded. Now you're giving the devil place to poke and prod. And if we see that and don't do anything, this church is going to win. But I don't necessarily care about anybody else if we can't win together as a unit right now. If we can't minister to each other or see who's hurting and take a step forward, why should we have other people come? Because they're just going to get lost in the mix also. And they definitely don't know what to do. Jordan and Amy have been praying for God to give you a fresh burden for ministry, fresh call to ministry, and I've been praying that he would give you the boldness and the confidence, the desire, determination to step into that ministry and fulfill it. And I'm praying that's working, that's something that, because you're, Jordan was, you have a calling on your life and you have an anointing on your life, and we don't need to see that just being tamed down and not loosed. And so we need you free from junk. You're your worst enemy. Trust me, I know. I was my worst enemy. But is it okay for us to allow a Jordan or Amy not to step into everything God's given them? Norm and Belinda, did you feel comforted when you were grieving over your dad? I know Misha's been having trouble with Anne Marie not being able to be there, feeling guilty. Tim Thompson, who she played the violin with. You have people dying, not necessarily, it's just that's life, right? But we need to grieve with those that grieve. We need to go ahead and take the time to cry with people and let them cry. Feel safe and give them a hug and let them cry on your shoulder. Because without that being expended from your system, you're not effective. You've got to grieve until you're done. Seasons of life. How many of you with gray hair have just given up on any kind of a fresh anointing or calling? How many of you have discounted yourself from anything with God? That's important stuff. We were blessed to have the Denny's move in to our church. They've added so much so quickly. And so what's God have for them? And what kind of ministry do they have for us? And then what kind of things did they bring in that need to be ministered to themselves? You can't just assume everybody's okay. This body right here, this is it. This is our dress rehearsal. We aren't playing games here. I mean, we're talking, you want to talk about dictatorship, you're seeing it right now in America. To the tune of, it's been so many executive orders, I couldn't even tell you how many. And the press better give them the questions beforehand. I mean, that's normal. And so God's going to move or he's not, but things are going to go quickly. Well, I said God's going to move no matter what, but I'm talking about his hand reaching into America. And I'm reading about, well, I don't want to keep going. You know, reading the book Washington's Immortals, it's a history book of Patrick O'Donnell wrote about the Revolutionary War. And I read about these soldiers that were so easy to track because all you had to do was follow all the blood in the snow, because they didn't have shoes. They're walking with rags in the snow, fighting for our country. And it's just like, that quickly? That quickly is going to happen? You know, it's not us either, just us, not just us. I wonder how many people would, just one, I'm sorry, just one, like, please forgive me if I hurt you in any way, would be all it would take for a backslider to come back. I wonder how many are just hinging on that. Like, I shouldn't have said it the way I said it. I'm very sorry. I apologize if I hurt you in any way. I wonder how many people would be coming back in just from that. I don't know who was in service. It was a couple years ago. Pastor Glover, towards the end of the service on a Thursday, he brought up Sister French and how she was an intercessor. And no sooner did he say that than there was a spirit that came down. And I was reminded of that by another minister 2 days ago. He calls it, God told him it's the synergy of the ages. And that moment when Pastor Glover did that, that anointing, all those anointings have never died. There's so much stuff that's hovering right up here. There's so many answers to prayer, just like right there. There's that cloud of witnesses that are waiting to see what they prayed for years, fulfilled here. And so we're not alone when it comes to what we need. Those anointings are available, obviously. I've said that about my grandfather. I know I can feel my grandfather's anointing when it's working because I'm actually nice. Just kidding. But when Pastor Glover said that, that spirit was so strong that came. That was a witness of the spirit, but it was also an attractant of the synergy of the ages. Everything builds upon itself. And so we're not alone. And so those people that you know that have gone on to their reward, their prayers have never died. Their prayers are right there waiting for us to grab them with faith. Not even knowing it, but grabbing them with faith. Or agreeing with it. They're just waiting for another agreement in the spirit. They're just waiting for a little bit of hunger to reach out there and pull it down. And you can feel the denseness and the weight of it. And it's hovering over this church. It did when Pastor Glover did that. It did when he preached about be strong and courageous. And that's been 2 years ago. And here we are. And like I say, I believe God is going to show himself strong and reveal himself strong. And Jesus Christ is going to be glorified. He said it, and I believe it will happen. We just realize now that just because it's God's will, it doesn't automatically happen, that we actually have to do something too. I hope we realize that now. But we're in a moment now where it can go either way. Bad, powerful. And we got to be ready for either way. You have to have your mind made up that no matter what, you're not going to deny Jesus Christ. It's going to happen quickly when it happens. I mean, everything's been happening quickly. And so just like that, someone can be taken off the social media that we have become, you realize how dependent you are on it, and all of a sudden your message is gone because you're just boom, 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 taking off. Wow. Josh Hawley gets his book canceled by Simon Schuster for standing up senator, and then they give Hunter Biden $2 million towards his book he's writing. That's there's a good example of the way truth is just being twisted and good is just like not even identifiable anymore here. But it takes all of us healthy. We are our brother's keeper. We absolutely are. If we feel it, see it, and we don't do anything about it, that's sin. So I care about you guys more than I care about them. I don't feel bad saying that. I care about these four more than I care about all of you. Right? But we're a family. This is dress rehearsal. And so with dress rehearsal, we got to be ready. So who's not ready? Anybody? I mean, Marianne's looking at me with tears in her eyes. Misha's been looking at me with tears in her eyes. Same with Amy. You could just start praying, you know? You could just trust this environment and start praying. Or crying. Sometimes that's all you need to do is cry. Jordan. My kids are going to pray for Rebecca. This is winning. This is win.